The film A Hero is the latest from Oscar-winning Iranian filmmaker Asghar Farhadi. It follows Rahim, whose efforts to get out of debt put him on a complicated path. Publicity, honesty, trust, and the nature of debt itself all play a role in his twist-filled story. It's on the shortlist for this year's International Feature Film Oscar. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about the film A Hero on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today is frequent NPR contributor and culture writer Bilal Qureshi. Hey, Bilal.
Hi, Linda.
And also with us once again is Vulture TV critic Roxana Haddadi. Hey, Roxana.
Hey, Linda.
So Asghar Farhadi has made films, including two Oscar winners in the category that's now international feature film, the 2011 film A Separation and the 2016 film The Salesman. In this story, in A Hero, Amir Jadidi plays Rahim. He is stuck in a debtor's prison from which he's sometimes given leave to visit his family, including his young son. During leave, he comes into possession, let us just say, of a lost handbag and some coins, which he hopes might allow him to repay his debt and get out of prison. But nothing goes as expected, it's safe to say, and he becomes everything from a local celebrity to a suspected criminal as he tries to figure out how to get home to his son. The movie is now streaming on Amazon Prime. I want to start with you, Roxana. How do you like this movie?
I really respect this movie. It's sort of a strange feeling to be Iranian and watch Farhadi's movies, I think, because they are such a domestic slice of life and sort of straddle that line. I think that Iranians might know very well, which is like the public face of you and the private face of you. Mm-hmm, I think that his movies always sort of probe at that gap. And this movie dives into that, I think, adding social media as this transformational element of performance.
Sure. Yes.
And so for me, I thought that the performances were very nuanced, as they always are in a Farhadi movie. But I also thought that there is this sort of political bleakness that is more explicit than his movies usually get. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that it felt like there was this sort of explicit message that some of his other movies flirt with more than get direct about.
Yeah.
So it was in my top 10.
Yeah. How about you, Bilal?
Yeah, I also really respected it. I thought that was a really interesting word that you chose, Roxana, as well. Because I would say that I think, to me, his films are a very particular kind of experience. I think they're cerebral, they're challenging, they're provocative. I think it's hard to say, you know, one loves them. I don't know that necessarily needs to happen with all of his movies that we see. But I do think they are thought-provoking, and I think ask like really profound questions of human instincts and human nature. Most directors aren't really taking you there where he takes you, which is, if put under this kind of pressure, how would you act? What would you do? And I think the choices are always kind of one of the recurring threads in his movies. I think the other thing that's always made his films interesting, and I mean, it's extraordinary to hear you say, Linda, that he's won two of the Oscars for Best International Feature in like a decade. Also to be making films about a country and in a country that many people are curious, like what exactly is happening there? Who are they? I think that adds another element of like there's a curiosity factor because it's filmed on location, in this case, in Shiraz. In A Separation, it was Tehran. Like you're in these homes, in these cities. And that's interesting. But I also always try to be careful to not look at them as like some kind of political editorial also, because they're also pieces of drama. They're compelling as Iranian stories, but they're also not, to me, in some ways. And so anyway, I mean, the point being, you know, head stimulating, very interesting, very provocative, very elegant, but respect for me more than like adoration or I can't wait to start it again or something, which is not required.
Yeah.
They make me physically ill.
Yeah.
Like they give me like the worst anxiety of any other films that I watch just because they do walk that line of what would I do? And something about that is more existentially frightening than anything else.
Yeah. One thing about this movie is that it starts in a place that requires you to think about a thing that if you grew up as I did in the United States, the whole idea of debtor's prison, like, I mean, I think people have made the point that the United States has many unofficial forms of debtor's prison, right? But the very idea of that, that he is officially in prison for owing this debt, is such an interesting place to begin, because then it puts such stakes around the, obviously, the money. And one of the things that I like about the film is that so many of the steps he takes are so carefully laid out, right? That he does this and he does this and this is why, and he makes this contact with this person. And it's so explicit. And yet the initial finding of the bag, the way that this bag comes into his possession in the first place, you don't actually see. So it's a little like, how does he have this, right? Because it's his girlfriend who sort of hands it off to him. But like, why does she, how do they have this? Why do they have this? I like the fact that the explicit and exhaustive detail of the steps that he takes later and the way that they kind of inexorably lead one to the next is mixed with this foundational ambiguity about how this all came to pass in the first place.
Yeah, I think that I have heard Farhadi say just about all of his films that they mostly center around an intrusion into the domestic space mm-hmm. and sort of charting how people react to that and choose actions and decisions off of that intrusion. And what I loved about The Gold Bag is that that is the intrusion into their sort of plan as to what are they going to do to get Rahim out. But then Rahim himself also becomes that intrusion because his actions then start affecting everyone around him. So there is that sense of this is a very interconnected society where your motivations might not sync up with somebody else's. They might be able to manipulate you. You might not be able to manipulate them. And so there are all these shifting power dynamics. But yes, not really knowing ever what the circumstances of the purse mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. is a very interesting way to get things going. And then at a certain point, it becomes no longer essential, but right. it does still guide everyone's hand.
Right.
I mean, yes, there is the gold bag. And yes, there is Rahim's kind of returning and trying to reclaim his reputation. But then the bag is like this pebble thrown into this ocean that like ripples with all these like really large waves, and it sort of echoes in lots of different aspects of this city and this community. I think the other thing I thought a lot about while watching this is I obviously, you know, don't know Iranian society intimately, but I can certainly say that, I mean, I was born in Pakistan. I grew up there in a time when it was quite conservative and had a kind of Islamic, you know, regime in place as well. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting that I feel might be slightly different for an American audience, I don't know how it's read, but this kind of pressure of honor and shame and the idea that you are not an individual at all in the sense that everyone's watching. And so much of the struggle in this movie for a lot of people is not to lose face. And I found that very insightful and very interesting and actually subtly quite different because I've seen some critics kind of compare it to like social media cancellation. To me, it seems like this isn't about getting canceled for like writing the bad tweet about like a movie. Yeah. Like to me, this is something much deeper about your very familial future and your integrity yeah. and your identity. And I feel that there is something very particular about these societies that are governed by shame and by honor that I think is profoundly sort of like explored here.
Yeah, like I think it's hyper specific to that Iranian experience and growing up in that sort of culture where everything is very communal and sort of your actions are a reflection on the communal space. But I also felt that core idea of a literal and figurative debt is so much what we're all talking about just in all forms of international media. I mean, Squid Game was a gigantic hit last year, I think because that idea is so relatable for everyone. Like, if I could claw my way out of this, what would I do next? And so talking about the film as a portrait of cancel culture, I agree. I don't think that's fully it. I think it's about the confusion of getting out of a certain spot of your life and then not knowing what comes next
yeah.
and how to prepare for that, if you even can.
I think to the degree that it's about the dangers of social media, it's very smart about treating social media as mostly an accelerator, that the capacity to lose face is greater and faster, but the fundamental nature of losing face is the same. I didn't see it as a sort of cancel culture take at all. And I think one of the things that I appreciate so much about him just as a dramatist, and I have found this about his other films as well, is that sometimes you see these accumulation of events. And I think he's very good at the combination that we sometimes talk about, inevitability and unpredictability, which is really, really hard to do. Because although there are things that happen in this film where when they happen, you think, oh my gosh, of course that's what was going to happen. they're not so telegraphed that the minute the step is taken that's going to lead to the next step, it feels inevitable, the march of this story. And yet, it's more in the sense that when something happens, you just go, oh, gosh. And then you realize, like, yes, this is the risk of whatever he's decided to do or whatever someone else has decided to do. I think just from a plot and drama perspective, that's one of the things that I hugely admired about this script.
I think the idea of drama is so important. I interviewed him a few years ago after Separation had come out, and he made his first film outside of Iran called The Past, which was set in France. And he talked about sort of the idea that for him, filmmaking is the merging of literature and drama. And like he very much sees drama and theater as sort of central to what he's doing. And, you know, I think it's also interesting. There's no music in the film, really, like minimal, if any. And it's all ambient sound. And it's not cinematic in some kind of like swooping way. It's really a film about characters and about theater. And I have often thought that his films would be amazing works of theater to watch. If we had a great non-musical theater tradition, I would imagine that they would be the kind of things that you'd want to see staged, because they're about conflict and they're about tragic heroes and flawed characters. And the thing about this too that I found so interesting is that our central character, Rahim, is such a kind of unfortunate character in a lot of ways. You know, he's not really a hero. He's super, you know, flawed and makes a lot of mistakes. And the performance is so interesting because it's this kind of, you sympathize with him because he's such a charming person and he has this kind of look of being kind of pitiful and you feel sad for what has happened to him. And yet he also consistently makes choices that undermine his own situation. And so I do find that that too is like an extraordinary work of writing, because, you know, the idea that anybody's good or bad doesn't really happen in his films.
I spoke to Farhadi about this film, and he talked about the weeks of work that went into crafting Amir Jadidi's physique and smile. And something he said that was very interesting is that he's always a little bit crooked. He never really stands up straight. He's always lingering on the outside of doorways. And I asked if the moments that he is angry are the most honest moments. And Farhadi sort of confirmed that. There is a moment where he gets into a physical altercation with the person who loaned him the money. And there is a moment in prison where he is angry about what they're asking him to do, and he slams the door. So for as much as he is this cipher who sort of absorbs everyone's negative thoughts about him and sort of internalizes them, there are those moments of breaking through that performance that I think are very telling about what is happening on the interior of that character.
I went and looked up the actor who played Rahim, you know, who you were describing, and he definitely looks very different from his character, and he seems that he carries himself and is a very different kind of person. So this is a really extraordinary performance in terms of, I think he lost something like 20 pounds, I read in the Great Hollywood Reporter piece about the entire performance, and that seems to be like one of just the many details that Farhadi always gets in all of his films. It was really an amazing performance.
Yeah, he makes very performance and script centered pieces, which is not to take anything away from the quality of the way that they are shot or the way that locations are used and things like that. But I have the same sense that you talked about, Bilal, that a lot of these would make wonderful theater. I think he is a director who gets so much of the engine of the movie from the performances and script. The skill of the directing is that you're not thinking about it all the time in some ways. You know what I mean?
It just unfurls in front of you. And there is sort of a change of pace in this film because we move from Tehran to Shiraz, which is a little bit of a slower sort of pace. People seem to know each other more, and there's more of sort of a closed community vibe. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps add to that sense of things are just happening and we happen to be there, which I think does help immerse us into what is happening, and you're paying attention more closely to those twists and turns.
And the other thing I wanted to just say too is that his films have some of the most incredible performances by children I've ever seen and by young people. I think in A Separation, when I first saw that, which is of course, like many people's, the first film of his that I saw, which is about a divorce and a divorcing couple, the kids and kind of what they've witnessed. And I feel like a lot of his camera work and the way that even in this film, you know, Rahim's son becomes a central character, it seems that he's really forcing us to confront how a morality or an ethics is passed down to a new generation, how you bear witness to things, how you learn things or unlearn things. And the young people who are in his films are they're so natural and integral to his films, and they're as carefully calibrated as any other performances. And I feel like the relationship between adults and children is another really interesting theme in all of his films.
Yeah, Farhadi does have an earlier film, I believe it's called Beautiful City, that is set in a children's prison. I think he has a certain idea, which a lot of Iranian directors share, which is that through the eyes of children are where we find the truth, allowing the son character here to play that role and to, unfortunately, sort of be manipulated, I think is a greater reflection of what have we lost as a society if we let this happen to our children.
Yeah. I think it's an extraordinary film, and I'm so glad that it is easier, I think, for people to find more international feature film kind of shortlisted nominee type films. I think they get, I have had the sense that they get easier every year. As we said, you can find this film on Amazon Prime. Not hard to find, definitely recommended. And if you do get a chance to watch it, let us know what you think. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much to both of you for being here to chat about this movie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, subscribe to our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about Peloton.